Lifting up their eyes, they saw no one save Jesus only. In this way, Matthew concludes his story of the peculiar occurrence described in the 17th chapter. When Jesus had at one time gone apart with a few of his disciples to a mountain, it happened that the form of a servant, which he had taken upon himself, was changed into the royal glory which belonged to him ever since he had been born to be a king. The disciples, who were accustomed to see Jesus associating with sinners, now found him in conversation with two of the spirits of the New Jerusalem. They found themselves enfolded in a cloud and possessed with great joy. But when they again came to themselves and lifted up their eyes, they saw no one save Jesus only. When a sinner first opens the eyes of his understanding, they are turned down upon his unsaved soul and lost condition. Shame and timidity are associated with downcast eyes. The law enjoins men to look especially upon themselves. It urges them to compare their depravity with God's holiness and their guilt with his righteousness. The Holy Spirit, however, thereupon lifts the eyes of their understanding to Jesus only. The glory of Christ, emanating from the words of the gospel, enlightens their heart and attracts their thoughts to Jesus, while the love of God, revealed in his promises, comforts their frightened heart and gives them courage to turn to Jesus. As Jesus only was the main object of Paul's preaching, so that he determined not to know anything except that which was related to the Savior who once had been crucified, so shall also my main topic be Jesus only. May he alone grant us enlightenment in the word, strengthen salvation through the word, and may God hear us when we ask for this, for Jesus' sake. Amen. A person becomes justified through faith alone, but Jesus only is the foundation of faith. He has provided that an awakened sinner can come to faith. Therefore, Paul says that Jesus is the author and perfecter of our faith. Jesus has not only atoned for sins and purchased righteousness, but he has also provided that a sinner shall become a partaker of this grace. And since this is done by faith, Jesus has also provided that the Holy Spirit shall work to that end and grant a true faith, in order that the works of grace may be perfected and that man may be appropriate, may and enjoy the fruits of redemption. It is Jesus only whom faith embraces and on whom it relies. When a person, after seeing the awful depth of his own misery, has once caught a right vision of Jesus, he cannot turn his thoughts from him. Jesus becomes everything to such an one, and everything else is counted as loss and dung. He seeks for Jesus, comes to him, longs for his righteousness, prays in his name, and hopes in him alone. He presses on that he may grasp Christ more securely and that he may trust him with more certainty and with greater boldness. Jesus only is the basis and main cause of justification. Jesus only is considered by God when he makes a person righteous. God merely sees that the sinner has accepted Christ and that he is in Christ in fellowship with him. God does not wrathfully count such a person's sins, for they are covered with the blood of Jesus. The Savior is sinless, and a justified man is considered quite as free from guilt as Jesus was when he had paid the whole debt of sin, and as pure, free from the corruption of sin, as Jesus has always been. Nor does God graciously look upon a person's good deeds. No, he looks only on his beloved Son. If he were to look upon our good deeds, he would also see the sins wherewith these good deeds are contaminated, and he would, by virtue of his righteousness, be compelled to exact punishment. God looks upon his beloved Son only. in order that he may find something perfect to rest his holy eyes upon. The atonement and righteousness of Jesus only are then by God attributed to the justified sinner. Nothing else will avail and satisfy an awakened soul. Nothing else suffices for our salvation from eternal fire. No other righteousness is valid and pleasing before God than that of his beloved Son, in whom he is well pleased. It is by reason of this alone that God forgives sins and receives us into sonship with him. Sins are forgiven because Jesus blotted out the bond against us with his pierced, bleeding hand. And for the sake of his childlike obedience, everyone that believes on him becomes a child of God. For Jesus' sake, every child of God is considered like Jesus himself, and a like verdict is rendered in heaven at the time of every act of justification, as was proclaimed with reference to Jesus at the Transfiguration. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Jesus only is the basis of the new birth, for it is faith in him alone that brings regeneration of the heart. Paul expresses this in Ephesians 2:6, saying, God made us to sit with Christ in the heavenly places. When a man fixes his attention upon Jesus alone and upon the holiness which he purchased and perfected when he had his delight in the law of the Lord, he receives the Spirit which grants full enlightenment in the Word of God. The believer then becomes like the Lord Jesus, being transformed into the same image. The light of the glory of Jesus enlightens the soul to see aright and to perceive clearly the heavenly light in the Word of God when the Son of righteousness arises and God takes his dwelling in the soul. God then also grants the believer a new mind, the mind which was also in Christ Jesus. His will becomes our will, and we thereupon always desire to be humble like Jesus, meek like Jesus, obedient like Jesus, pure in heart like Jesus, and occasionally we are also able to be thus. For in the new birth we received a clean heart and a right spirit, and a mind like that which was also in Christ Jesus. It is in sanctification that the power of our Lord Jesus is best shown, for it is Jesus who provides the power to put off the old man and put on the new. If you are to get rid of your wicked thoughts, if you are to quench your evil desires, if you are to succeed in overcoming your old sinful habits, verily there is no other help for this in heaven or on earth than that provided by Jesus only. He has conquered sin, and in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us, for he is the Lord which sanctifies. The sanctification of the Spirit is a sure result of his redemption. If you are unable to resist sin, if you are compelled to fall therein again, then the forgiveness would be useless and the atonement in vain. But his merit is complete and perfect, and he has arranged that the merit imputed to you at once and immediately in justification shall also gradually be wrought in you in sanctification. Jesus has not only stood in your stead as a just man who has had his delight in God's commandments and whose righteousness is imputed to you as though you had always been just, but he has also brought about that you actually become just and obtain more and more delight in God's law according to the inner man. The more a person grows in faith in the Lord Jesus, the more he will also increase in good works. You do not, as you may suppose, receive more faith and grace from God by virtue of your watchfulness, meekness, patience, and devotion, but quite the reverse. in the proportion that Jesus becomes great and glorious to you, in the proportion that he becomes indispensable, you will increase in all the virtues that derive their strength from him. The more faith, which is the origin of love, increases, the more will also love, which is the result of faith, increase. Love for Jesus is the chief motive unto sanctification in a converted soul. It is love for Jesus that makes the believer submissive to him in trials and sorrow, enabling them to bear his cross when the Lord finds it needful for their sanctification. Paul designates the knowledge of the love of Christ as the most immediate cause leading to one's being filled unto all the fullness of God. In like manner, it is love for Jesus that makes the most pleasing sins abominable and the most grievous duties light. It is love for Jesus that enables us to love all men, because he has deigned to make them all objects of his love. It is love for Jesus which opens our heart so that we may have confidence in those who are known to be partakers of that same love of Christ. It is love for Jesus which quenches our anger when we are offended, which kills hatred, and enables the believer to love his enemies, since Jesus has loved them too, precisely as he loved us, even while we were yet his enemies. Jesus is the most splendid and only perfect pattern to follow in sanctification. Do not ask to become like this one or that one, but pray that you may become like Jesus. Do not attempt to imitate the talents of others, nor their measure of grace, but walk in the footsteps of your Savior. Along that way, you shall more and more attain to that whereunto by your election you were ordained, namely, to be conformed to the image of his Son. Do you, O confident sinner, know whom you are warring against, whom you are scoffing at? It is not the servant who proclaims the message which you contradict, not human beings whom you mock for their spiritual interests, but Jesus only, whose words are being spoken to you and whose members they are whom you vituperate. Rest assured that Jesus alone is able to overrule your wickedness and to judge and punish you. How dreadful it will be for you when you lie upon your deathbed at the end of the way to realize that the Son's wrath is upon you. How awful the mere appearance of Jesus when, in the resurrection, you raise your head from the grave. Take heed to what you have heard, O mournful souls. Remember that Jesus only is the object of your awakening. Do not therefore seek for more regret, nor for an immediate improvement in your course of life, but seek for Jesus only. Where indeed can you look for salvation except to your Savior? Where can you find salvation except in him? It is nowhere else to be found. When you have found him, and in him righteousness and strength, when his righteousness is your support in temptations, when his might is your succor, lo, then you have enough in him, for you have all in him. If then it should ever happen that you, like the first disciples, should in spirit see somewhat of his glory and taste the powers of the age to come, and if this glory should thereupon disappear, then do not look for Moses or Elias, but be contented with the grace granted to those early disciples of whom we read, when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one save Jesus only. When the peace of Christ has brought you reinvigoration and his promises have given you assurance of grace, then it shall also be your lot at the approach of death when your eyes can no longer see the things of this world, then the vision of your soul shall be opened and endowed with heavenly light to see the great glory, world without end, face to face, Jesus only. Amen.